Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, great singing today. Great singing today. Way to go. Way to go. Praise the Lord for that. You know, the first service people are always bragging that they're better singers than you. Next week I'll tell them, no, that's not true. This service is way better at singing than they are in first service. Because it's a competition, you know, everything is a competition. And hey, if you're watching online, we want to welcome you today. Hey, you got to come out. There's a lot of exciting things happening. It's a great atmosphere to be here this morning. There's something about being together as we sing to the Lord and worship Him. I can do it at home, no doubt. We should do it at home. But there's something great about being together today. So thanks for coming. Hey, Bible conference is coming up 2 weekends from now. Friday night, we're having dinner in 2 sessions. Saturday morning, breakfast in 2 sessions. You'll be out by noon. And then they're going to wrap it up on the 24th Sunday morning, 5 sessions overall, talking about future stuff. A lot of people asking about what's going to take place in the future. What does the Bible tell us? And so we have a professor coming from Grace Seminary, and he's going to be sharing with us some things about future events. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. But hey, this morning we're going to start a new series that's going to last, I don't know, the next 6 or 8 weeks. I'm not sure exactly how long. Talking about confident. Confident. I want us to be confident and to walk boldly in our faith. It was interesting. A couple of months ago, I watched a Netflix series called Breaking Point. Anybody seen that series? Breaking Point tracks some professional tennis players through the major tennis events of a couple of years ago. And it follows them as they prepare, it follows them as they play, and it followed them after the matches were over. And it was so interesting to me that the title of the series is Breaking Point, because it focused on the mental and emotional reactions that these tennis players have, whether they are winning or losing. And it's interesting because I grew up playing sports, but I always played team sports. And so as I watched this series called Breaking Point, it was interesting for me to observe how in a sense, fragile their confidence was. You know, in tennis, the coaches are not allowed to coach during the match. There's a rule that says coaches have to sit in the stands and they can cheer for you, but they can't either verbally or through hand signals coach you to tell you what to do better. And so tennis players, like golfers, the golfers have a caddy. Tennis players are completely on their own to figure out why they're doing good or why they're doing bad. And it was so fascinating to watch their confidence when they're doing good, but when they start to do not so good, how quickly their confidence shatters. And how it goes down and how they have to try and regain it. Because they're doing these voiceovers as they're playing, describing what they're thinking and what they're feeling. And I began to think to myself, I wonder if we as followers of Jesus, because of what's taken place in the last couple of years and in the pandemic and being isolated more, or because of things that are shifting in our culture, I wonder how confident we are right now. In the truths of what it means to follow Jesus. And I know we live in a time maybe where things are being challenged a little bit more, and I wonder if we were able to pick your brain or to look inside your heart, how's your confidence doing? How's the confidence of your faith doing? Now, all of us are confident in certain areas. Can you think of things in your life that you're like, oh yeah, I'm totally confident in that? Anybody have at least one of those areas? There you go. One person has one area. That's great. You know, it's like, wow, we need to talk about this a lot more. But maybe you're super confident in your job because you've been doing it for so long. You're confident in a skill that you have. You're a confident mom or a confident dad. All of us, if we were to think about it, could identify things that we are very confident in. We also have some things, maybe how many of us have some areas in our life that we're not confident in, that we have some things going on and we're like, ooh, man, that stretches me. Now, how many of you used to be confident in something and now you're not confident anymore? I used to be super confident in parenting until I actually had a child. You know, super confident, right? Okay. Now, not so much. And as you get older, what you were confident in, your physical abilities, now you're losing confidence in. Anybody have something they used to be confident in, but they're not so confident anymore? Okay? Or something that maybe you've really grown in, that you weren't confident before, but God has given you grace, and now you're confident in it. So confidence is a very, very interesting thing. And this for the next couple of weeks, I want to talk about growing our confidence in our faith. so that we can just live it out. Live it out. You know, I love C.S. Lewis's quote. It says this: I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. We know the sun has risen today because we can look into the sky and we can actually see the sun. But not only is the sun there, but what it does for us is it illuminates the rest of the world so that we can actually see everything by the light of the sun. Christian faith is the same way. That we can look at it objectively, historically, and we know that Jesus lived because there are historical accounts even outside the Bible that demonstrate his existence, demonstrate his presence, but also because of our faith, we can see life as it really is. And our Christian faith is both objective and it's subjective, and it's reality, and it's also illuminating, isn't it? What C.S. Lewis is saying is that our faith is not only real because we can see it working out in real time, but it's also real because it helps us understand the rest of the world in which we live. I think we live in an exciting but difficult time. I think there's this rise of wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters, and Jesus told us that right before he comes, these things are going to be on the rise. And so we look at the rise of these things and we realize, wow, this is both an exciting but difficult time. We see the rise of self-authority and self-expression. And again, Jesus told us that right before he comes back, there's going to be a rise in this individualism. And the Bible calls it lovers of self, lovers of pleasure. This attitude is going to be on the rise. And so again, we look at it and we say, wow, this is difficult for us to kind of maneuver through. But at the same time, it's exciting because it's an indicator of the soon return of Jesus, which is what we're all hoping for, isn't it? And the rise of dark spiritual activity. We see a rise because we believe that this world is multidimensional, don't we? That there's a seen world in which we all live, but there's also the unseen spiritual realm that's just as real as the physical realm. And we see a rise in dark spiritual activity, which is, again, another indicator that Jesus is going to come back soon. But until he does, it presents some difficulties for us. I wonder if this recent increase in interest in UFOs, or what they call them now, UAPs, unidentified aerial or atmospheric phenomenon, is that connected in any way to this dark rise of spiritual activity? We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. But I want us to be confident today that what is happening today in our culture and in our world and what the Bible described for us thousands of years ago is in perfect harmony. That God told us this was going to happen. And he told it to us thousands of years ago. So as we see these different things rising in our world, in our culture, it's not to scare us, it's to prepare us for what's coming next, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so we can be confident that Jesus is coming soon, and we can be confident in what we believe. Let's start off with a little quiz. How confident are you as an individual in your faith? On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you in this statement? The Christian faith, which stands solely on the shoulders of Jesus and the footstool of the Bible, is the one true pathway to understanding the world around us and our eternal destination. On a scale of 1 to 10, how does that resonate? Is it something that you're working through? Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, and I'm not trying to force this truth on you. I'm just asking you to consider it. So maybe it's a scale of 1 or 2. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a while, and this is more like a 5 or a 6. Maybe at times it was a 9 and a 10, but because of what's happened in your life and what you see happening around us, it's shrunk back just a little bit. How confident are we about our Christian faith being the one true pathway of understanding the world around us and our eternal destination? Let's be confident in that. And I'm hoping through this series, the number on your scale will increase. Another statement. The Christian faith is the only faith that takes reality and sees it for what it is and can provide rational and provable explanations for what is objectively observed. That there's a grid that we understand life by. And the Christian faith provides the best grid for us to understand what we objectively observe happening in our world. How confident on a scale of 1 to 10 would you be at that statement? Now, I know it sounds a little bit exclusive, but really, the Christian faith is completely inclusive because it welcomes anybody into it. But it makes bold statements. See, I think we're living in a time where we as an American culture, we've moved a little bit. We can't deny that we were founded on Christian ideas. They're inscribed in all of our national monuments. We've moved from a Christian-based country to maybe a more secular-based country, and now we're dipping our toes into anti-Christian waters. We've seen it recently in our own area where a school board member in our community asked for Christians to come to a meeting where they could review curriculum. And she was scolded and asked to resign because she invited Christian people to come and do it. Heard the story this week of a new student at a university in our state. And when she went to her English class, the professor asked, are there any Christians in the room? Trying to point them out. So are we moving that way? Well, my goal for the next couple of weeks or couple of months is that we would grow in our confidence in our faith, that we would live it out more boldly. Well, first of all, we need to understand what is biblical confidence. In your Bibles, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, and in Acts chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 10 is talking about what God has done in the past and what God is doing at their present time and what God is doing in the future. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, it says this, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Don't throw away your confidence in what God has done in the past. Don't throw away your confidence in what God is doing right now. And don't throw away your confidence in what God is yet to do in the future. Because if you keep your confidence strong, there's great reward. And the reward is I understand life. And I understand my walk with God. And I can put all of the elements of life into perspective and understanding. Don't throw away your confidence in what God has been doing in your life. Don't throw away your confidence that God is doing something today. And don't throw away your confidence that he's yet to do something in the future. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The Jewish leaders of Jesus' day were watching the 12 disciples, and they arrested Peter and John because they were proclaiming about Jesus. And look what it says there in chapter 4, verse 13. Now the religious leaders, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, now watch this, this is so good, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. In other words, if you're uneducated in their mind and you're untrained, how can you have such confidence in anything? But then look what it says. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with who? This Jesus. See, there's something about being with Jesus that gives us confidence in life. Confidence. So what is confidence? Well, as we study the word in the Bible, we understand that confident means an internal assurances lived out publicly. Now, there's two parts to that. There's the internal assurances that as I wrestle with my faith, as I wrestle with the truths of God, can I become more assured of their validity and more assured of their truth? Because before I can live anything out, I have to have assurance of that. But once I have assurance, my assurance isn't meant to be kept to myself. Just as the disciples were seen as recognized to be with Jesus and they lived out their confidence. They lived out their confidence. God wants us to be confident And he wants us to live it out in our life. So confidence, biblically, is an internal assurance lived out publicly. How strongly do I believe in my faith? How strongly do I believe in the foundations of my faith? And how can I live them out? I believe the weaker my assurance is, the less likely I am to live them out. Next question, what is the best source of our confidence? You know, as I was watching that series, Breaking Point, I was listening to the emotional and mental responses to these professional tennis players as they were struggling in these tournaments. And the words that they were saying to themselves and how they were thinking was very fascinating to me. Because as soon as they started playing poorly, their confidence almost immediately tanked. And their inner voices, so to speak, started sending them critical and negative messages like, we're going to lose, it's over. And they were already thinking about going back to their coaches and explaining why they lost even before they lost. And I was thinking to myself, as I played sports going through high school, I don't remember that thought process going in my mind, that when we were doing poorly, where did all these voices come from? And I realized something, that the difference between playing a solo sport versus a team sport is that in team sports, confidence comes to us from the outside. That when I'm struggling as a player, I have teammates and coaches that can encourage me and build up my confidence. Where when you're playing an individual sport, especially like tennis, where coaches aren't allowed to train you or to coach you, you have to deal with that all in isolation. And I thought, wow, that is a wonderful spiritual principle. That if I want to be confident in my faith and I want it to grow, I need to get confidence from the outside, not just from the inside. Does that make sense? And as I began to look at the Bible and study this word confident or confidence, I began to realize that biblical confidence doesn't come from within. It actually comes from without. And external confidence or confidence that is sourced outside of myself brings courage. And confidence that is only sourced within oneself and things go wrong, it leads to fear, which is usually expressed in aggression or anger. Here's a couple of verses. This is great. Psalm chapter 71 and verse 5. Confidence is sourced from outside of ourselves, leads to courage. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my what? Confidence from my youth. Anybody watch the U.S. Open women's finals yesterday? Coco Gauff won it. 19-year-old American won the U.S. Open in New York City yesterday. Played phenomenal. She could probably beat me. I'm wondering. I'm thinking, okay. I never played tennis in my life, so that's fine. You want to know something was so impressive? After she won, she greeted her family. She came back to center court. She got down on her knees at her chair, and she thanked the Lord for the victory in a prayer. Okay? Confidence. Confidence. Confidence in her faith. Not pushing it on people, not preaching to people, not preaching at people, but confident enough to, you know what? I know where this comes from. Yesterday, last night, I watched the Texas-Alabama game. I love sports. I watch a lot of it. Maybe you do something different. Texas beat Alabama. That young quarterback on the Texas University football team, Quinn Ewers, during the game, they were talking about an interview with him yesterday before and how his life has changed so much in the last year. He came back in better shape. He came back more confident. He came back more peace. And when they asked him about it, he said, I finally gave my whole life to Jesus. And in the interview afterwards, he said, I just got to tell you, God has done this in my life. Confidence. confidence. That country western music artist Oliver Anthony wrote a song not too long ago that skyrocketed him to stardom just in the last couple of months. I got an email saying that he was on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast, so I watched it, and Oliver Anthony shared on Joe Rogan podcast how God got a hold of his life. He moved from suicidal thoughts to giving his life back to Jesus, and Jesus giving him peace. And now, just in the last 60 days, as his fame has skyrocketed, he can handle the pressure. He can handle it with a good perspective because of his relationship with God. And there on that podcast that's listened to by millions of people, the gospel of Jesus was shared from a young man's voice. Because he's confident. Confident, okay? Confident. Why? Because confidence that is sourced outside of ourself leads to courage. Here's another verse, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 26. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. The Lord is our confidence, because confidence sourced outside of myself leads to courage, whereas confidence that is sourced from within oneself leads to fear and aggression. It's interesting, as I was watching that tennis series, when the players became fearful of losing and lost their confidence in the match, after the match, they became angry and they would take it out on their team, because confidence that's sourced from within us that doesn't go well leads to fear, and fear is usually expressed. We saw this a lot in the pandemic. Fear is expressed through anger. I think that's one of the reasons we see so much anger in our culture, is because people are feeling fearful because they're not confident, because they're getting their confidence from their own self-authority and self-expression. And when that gets questioned or challenged, you become angry. So I took the word courage or confidence in the Bible, and I just printed out the verses in which they were used. And then I noticed that this confidence was clustered into certain areas of life. And I narrowed it down to four major areas of life. What areas does God desire to give confidence? Here are the four of them. Number one, in our personal makeup, value, and worth. God wants you and I to be confident in who he has made us to be. Now, we know that he's made us to be within a certain framework, and as long as we're in that framework, we can be confident in who he has made us to be. I love, here's an example of it in Psalm 139, verse 14. I give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are wonderfully made. Tell him that. You are wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, he goes on to say, and my soul knows it very well. Just let me say this, God doesn't make mistakes. And we're very clearly told in the Bible, God formed you in your mother's womb. That before you even had a conscious thought, God was making you who he wanted you to be. And he wants you to be confident in the strengths and the passions and the skills and the personality that he's given to you. We understand that there's some mystery between I'm a product of my mother and my father, and I'm a product of the hand of God. We know all of that to be true, but we know for sure that God fashioned you the way he fashioned you. You and you are not a mistake. And how God made you to be is not a mistake, because God doesn't make mistakes. Amen? So be confident in your passions and in your skills. If you have any skills, be confident in those. Area number two. Did you know that God wants us to be confident in our interactions with him? He doesn't want us coming to him crawling, groveling. He wants us to come into his presence with confidence, not because of us, but because of what he's done for us. And because he's who he's made us and who he's turned us into and what he's done for us. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, in whom we have boldness and confident access to God through faith in him. God wants you to be courageous in your walk with him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, a familiar verse. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. God wants to interact with you. And he doesn't expect you to come on your face groveling in self-pity and worthlessness. He wants you to stand up. That's why when Jesus died on the cross in the temple, that veil that divided the holy place from the holy of holies was torn in two. Walk boldly into his presence. Again, not because of us, but because of what he's done for us. He's given us that access. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Confidence in our walk with God. Number three, in our progress of our personal development. I love the statement that said, God loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to keep you there. He wants us to keep moving forward in our growth and our maturity and our confidence. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul says this, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Christ Jesus is the day he comes and takes us home. So you and I are a work in progress. You just told your neighbor that they're wonderfully made. Now tell them, but you're still a work in progress. Yeah, you're still a work in progress. And you know what? This is something we need to really be confident. It's okay to be a work in progress. Because we're all there. And I can be confident that what God has done in my life before it's not done. He's working on me. I love that. He who began a good work in you, yes, God began it, will perfect it. That means mature to its fullest until the day of Christ Jesus. Be confident that I'm a work in progress. I'm going to say things I shouldn't say. I'm going to do things I shouldn't do. I'm going to see things I shouldn't see. I'm going to stumble and I'm going to fall. But my confidence is this: God's going to help me get better tomorrow. And a year from now and 2 years from now, I won't be the man that I am today. You won't be the woman you are today. Why? Because you're a work in progress, and it's perfectly okay to be confident in the fact that God's not done with you yet. And then number four, and this is what we're going to focus on this series, how to stay strong and stand strong in life. How to stay strong and stand strong in life. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 3, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arises against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Hey, when our culture is becoming less comfortable with us as followers of Jesus, or when we're facing repercussions because we're confident in our faith, the Lord will give us confidence in the moment. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all what? With all what? With all confidence. We want to speak the words of Jesus with confidence. We want to be able to share our confidence with others. So as God walks us through this idea of confident, I'm hoping by the end of our series, we'll be reminded of some things that we already know, but we'll become more confident in them. Maybe you're here today or you're watching online and you're not a follower of Jesus, but you're checking it out. I want you to become confident in what the Bible teaches we should be confident about and embrace the Christian faith. Now, if we were to build confidence on statements, there would be four of them. If we could take the Bible from cover to cover and we could synthesize it all down into four statements upon which we can build confidence, let me give you the four statements. Are you ready? You got to come back next week. See the first one, okay? But there are four statements that can summarize the platform on which we build our confidence. And these four statements have been true since the time of Jesus, so it's nothing new. We're going to reword them maybe in a way that's a little bit more contemporary, but there's four basic foundational statements to the platform on which God helps us build our confidence in our Christian faith. Because just like C.S. Lewis said, our Christian faith isn't a blind faith. We can see it. But also, through our Christian faith, we can understand the world in which we live. We can understand the times in which we live. And we can be confident that God is doing exactly what he said he's going to be doing and what he said he was going to do over 2,000 years ago. Let's stand together and pray. Let's take a moment before we close in prayer just to have just a moment of personal inventory in your own life. As we think of your faith, as you think of your faith, how confident are you in it? Because it seems to me, and I've experienced in the last 3 or 4 years, a shaking of the foundation from culture. And maybe we've been a little bit rattled about the validity of our faith. Maybe we can't answer every question that's been thrown at us. Maybe we've been having some thoughts questioning the validity of it. So our faith has shrunk. Our confidence has waned. And if that's true with you, I'm excited that you're here today, because you're just a pilgrim like us, walking through this life. But if your faith right now is a little bit down, we're just going to pray that God, through this series, will increase your confidence in the truth of your faith, to the point where we want to just live it publicly. And by live it publicly, we don't mean bashing it over people's head, preaching at them, but just being able to give our faith story so that other people will be encouraged to turn to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for those that are here, those that are watching, for those of us that are struggling in the confidence in our faith. May you increase our confidence. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, although it's becoming less popular in our culture, it still remains true. And it still remains the filter in which helps us understand all that's going on. So Lord, I pray you would encourage us, Lord, that we would stay connected, that we would attend these next few months to learn how to grow in our confidence and our faith. And as we look at these four statements and unpackage them, we can see the truth that sets us free. Thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. I pray even now for those that are unsure about following you, that they would see the truth of what you've revealed and surrender to it. So Lord, I pray in the next few months, people would come to know you for the first time. People would come back to you that have been drifting. And Lord, that you would strengthen our confidence in our faith, because it is true and it is real and it really works in this world. Send us out now as your people today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day today.